Okay. Good evening, folks. You know, it is June 21, the first day of summer, and, you know, I call this monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. Roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Yep.
Secretary Holland.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Okay, public input here that pertains to the evening's agenda. I'll take that as a no. So, minutes, approval of the NAA public minutes of May 17, 2023.
Put forth a motion approved in the May 17, 2023 minutes.
If I could just throw one quick change in there.
You weren't here.
How can you do that?
The numbers guy.
Just no, I mean about the number. The last sentence, that first paragraph of the report, it says, it's kind of, the $50,000 is already booked. The amount of $7,162 in excess of the $50,000 already booked will be reported. It okay. Basically already has been reported.
Okay. See where it's at.
It just has been reported, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, so approval of the May 17 minutes with the correction.
I'll second it.
Okay. Okay, this will be a roll call vote since we have one remote member.
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, motion is approved. Treasurer's report, approval of the May 2023 financial statement subject to audit.
Hey, we talked about a lot of the profit and loss comparison with budget. That's the sideways sheets you guys have. That's probably the best, the easiest way to go through this. Good news is that we're really smart because somehow throughout the year, through the 11 months of May, we're only $2,800 different than budget. So, granted, there's a lot of plus and minuses to get there, and we've talked about many of them already at other meetings. But that's really the upshot. And with the month of June to go, I'm not anticipating anything out of the ordinary. There's a little bit of an increase in the fuel farm that we $1,000, I think, in the fuel farm that we thought we had, but. Other than that, it's pretty static, pretty benign. The numbers are coming in pretty well.
There might be a little bit of a vehicle expense if you tell them we're talking about purchasing some tires.
Right, that was within the budget.
Yeah.
Tires per load that are thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The year-to-date numbers are still going to come in pretty well. If you spend an extra $2,800, we're going to break even, according to budget. So,
that was for the month, right? So,
no,
you're even better year to date.
Year to date,
842.
No, year to date, not month.
All right.
So, my point is that if you go to that sheet, the bottom line, you got a $37,352
profit. Oh, I was looking at the
profit
above that. Yep.
Okay. Right. Surplus. I guess you can't use the word profit with a non-profit organization. So that's surplus, and then we budgeted $34,000, so we're about $2,800 better off than we thought we'd be for the 11 months. So, with that, anybody have any questions or any other comments?
I only had one question, which really doesn't really pertain to financial. But I couldn't remember on the liability, like general liability and property or whatever, is that just all part of the city policies or is that stuff you deal with directly with the broker on?
Liability, we deal directly with the broker.
You do. Okay.
Are you talking about the insurance cost, Brian?
Yeah, I saw the general liability.
Yeah.
Policy one.
Yeah, that's our own, that's our own deal.
Okay. So I support the motion to accept the May 2023 financial subject to audit.
Second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, Chris, would you call the roll, please?
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Brings us to approval of the fiscal year 2024 projected budget.
Okay, I sent out the budget. Susan and I and Chris, to an extent, went through this last week, and I feel pretty good about it. I sent it out to you, to everybody last Thursday, I think, Thursday or Friday, with notes. I thought were pretty self-explanatory. But anybody has any questions, again, we're looking at the budget. There's another sideways sheet that...
there was one thing that I wanted to add to this.
Sure.
We had talked about it. It was either early this year or last year, I can't remember exactly, about the auto lift for the shop.
Okay.
And Eldon and I have worked out a location for it. And so I think we'd like to start moving forward on that.
So that's a capital expenditure?
Yes.
Okay, so
that's nothing that we have to put in there?
Okay. No. No, that's part of the CapEx budget.
Okay.
Which, we don't typically have a separate approval for that.
Gotcha.
It's more, but we can certainly address it at a future meeting when we have the numbers pulled together.
Just wanted to let you know.
But it shouldn't affect the operating revenue and expenditures. What is the cost of that, roughly?
It's in the low 20s, and then there's concrete work that has to be done. We have to cover up some of the floor to reinforce it.
And what is it again?
It's an auto lift. It'll lift the trucks with the sanders on it.
Oh, okay. So
vehicle lift. Maintenance.
Yeah. When you say auto lift, you don't mean an automatic lift.
No, it is.
Automotive.
Yeah.
Automotive. Okay.
Yes. And it'll be strong enough to lift if you had, say, the dump truck with the spreader on it, full in the storm, you could lift it up.
Yeah, so it's not something you go down and pick up at Harbor Freight.
No. Uh-huh. And it's a quality, I didn't want Eldon crawling underneath something that wasn't high quality. So.
Yeah, we got to make sure it all OSHA compliance on
it. Yep. I researched, the brand is a Mohawk lift.
Mm-hmm. I doubt I have full confidence in you in dealing with it, but if for any reason, coming and taking a look at ours would be helpful and talking to our guys about their experiences. Feel free.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because their stuff's pretty heavy.
Is your shop right over here?
Yeah, it's right on Airport Road.
Okay.
Yeah. When was the last time?
Yeah, we'll see what we can just use over there.
Yeah, we'll take that. The snow, I see you're, budgeting for the normal 8 storms, but I can't remember what would you say it's 41 storms?
Yeah.
And is that, I know our costs have gone up a lot, and I just didn't know when the last time you raised that fee and how is that number?
We raised it last winter, and Chris did some analysis on our costs, and one of the first increases I've seen in 20 years.
So you like that number, the 41?
Yeah, it works. Yeah. Better than the 3,300 we had before.
It works for now.
Yeah. And again, it's so dependent on the type of snow and the. I do have some empathy for our tenants, our customers that. We get three or 4 inches of snow, and it's the same cost, the same price that they pay to have to that we charge them, or even 2 inches, sometimes depending on the type of snow we have.
But you still have to mobilize all the equipment, the manpower.
That's what I'm getting at. Yet, and on the flip side of that, we get a foot and a half of snow, and it's still the same number. So.
Okay.
And we were, last year, we were able to just do the taxiways and runway a few times.
Right.
And not have to, you know, fill all the tenants, playing Mother Nature. The sun came through and helped us out quite a few times. You still there, Jess?
I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you, Bookie. I took off. But I don't need one of those anymore.
Don't tell them I'm here.
So that's the that's the snow removal story. We actually we only had six storms this year.
But I'm guessing the tenants, and it would be way too complicated to try and do it like a traditional commercial lease where it's in common area maintenance and that gets up and down every year. That would just be
the people that have tenants in their buildings, for instance. They may have a CAM clause that then takes this cost and spreads it out accordingly, but that's not our, we don't do that here. The only massaging we do of any of this is that, you know, a larger hangar pays more than a T hangar. So that's kind of the way that works.
By the way, I appreciate you doing this with the notes and stuff on the side, you know, the way, you know, that was helpful.
It was helpful for me, too, because I kept asking Susan the same stupid question.
So you put in a reserve for tank inspection and maintenance.
Right.
So in the year that actually happened, so how will the accounting for it actually... I'm just wondering if anything's going to show up on the balance sheet. Is this something we're following through since it's a reserve? Or
yes, all of that.
Yeah, okay.
So what's going to happen is that, you know, we talked about this a lot, and one of the things that kind of makes me a little bit more nuts, is, you know, having this expenditure presumably come out of the blue, even though it's not.
Right.
In other words, it's all, you know, so if we all of a sudden had to have this whole tank thing done this year, for instance, you know, that deficit, or that $6,000 surplus would be a negative number because of a very large expenditure in that year. So, and I'm really not a big proponent of approving or representing a deficit budget. So instead of that, what we do is, this is something we know about. You know, it's going to happen every 2 to 5 years, whatever that window is. So why get surprised in the year you're actually doing it from the expenditure? You know, cash flow, of course, happens in that year. It's time, but the expense piece, I figured this, you know, recognize the expense over a period of time, like a reserve, so we know what's going to happen. And then let's say we have, you know, forget what the numbers are. Let's say we have $20,000, on the balance sheet, because every time of the year we're going to, you know, increase the liability reserve, then increase the expenses for by 2 or 3 years, whatever the accrual is, and then at the end of the time we have, you know, let's say we have $20,000 accrued or reserved on the balance sheet, but the cost actually comes in at $23,000. So what's going to happen that year is that the only thing that's going to hit the expense account is whatever we accrued for that year plus for the extra $3,000 that we didn't know about, rather than the whole $23,000 in 1 year. So I like to have things smoothed out over time rather than the big hits. And when we have the cash flow, you know, we have, you know, significant, you know, reserves of cash, mm-hmm. we don't have to be all that sensitive to it.
Right.
So
any accounting for the whole PFAS thing? It was a topic there earlier in the year, and the cost. And
that's one of those things where it came out of the, it really did come out of the blue office, and we didn't have any budget for it. That's why when you look at ground and maintenance, it's got $40,000+ in it this year as expenses.
Mm.
We only budgeted 20 something, and that's why. But the hope is that that's for however we decide to handle it, we're just not going to do that anymore.
Do we have any insight on any other
Well, I sent a report out to the board, and I heard back from Farrell asking for comment before they submitted to the state, the report from Weston Sampson. So if you guys could take a little time and look at that, and this is a few months ago now, and just, you know, give me some comments on it. There are some, there's a lot of historical data that was presented that's all out of whack. I'll take care of that part of it. But if you just want to review the rest of that document, get back to me, and they will submit the report to the state once we approve
and in,
their report.
Okay, I apologize. I haven't seen that for a few couple of months. But in that report, is there anything excuse me, that indicates that this is going to be an ongoing issue?
Yes, yeah. I believe so. So the two things I got out of the report is that one, they really cannot identify any on-premise or on-airport PFAS contamination sources. They have not been able to do that, but you know they're leaning in the direction of a continuous monitoring program.
Yeah.
So it's a guaranteed source of income for these people.
Yeah. Okay, well that's the feedback that was a minute ago was that I'm not sure how we're going to handle this. So, mm-hmm. You know, in my email to you guys, there's two risks that we have in there. I did outline in the email two things that are not in this budget that could pose a financial risk, and that's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. However, my personal belief, and barring any other legal reason, we basically tell them to go home. You know, I'm not really in the mood to just keep writing checks because DES feels like doing that, you know, that revenue stream you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost to the point where, you know, let them really make us do it. Or we get counsel and fire and go on the offensive and say, no, we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. This is why. But either way, whatever way we go, there are no expenditures in here for that. With that said, there are some expenses in here that could be a little, call it fluffy, where you know you could have more budget than you're really going to spend. I mean, there are a few cushions in here. But for the PFAS specific, that engineering cost specific, there's nothing in this budget to spend on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, we're not going to spend it until somebody really tells us that we have to. You know, from a legal perspective. What I've heard in the past is all this fluffy stuff, like, oh yeah, well this is because we interpret it this way, and this is why you need to do this. Well, that's fine, but
it's actually codified in state law that you know, so we have to do this.
Okay, I thought there was a situation where it wasn't codified. That was, it was basically, by do this, you mean we have to do what DES says we have to do and spend the money?
I believe so. But this is why I would like to get Steve Bolton involved.
I think we need a little more firepower than that, frankly. Mm-hmm. I think we need somebody that's specific in the environmental area. But I also would really like the city, since this is their land. You know, I know it's only a bucket, you know, for the lease, but you know, the city should start weighing in on this stuff too, because it's happening under their turf,
mm-hmm.
As much as it is ours.
Anyway. Didn't you try floating that one a while ago, and the city just cut it off?
Well, yeah, there's so many variables that this is not for a discussion tonight. It's just, I think this is something that we need to get our arms around it, because it continues to be an issue.
Well, I agree with that. But we got off track a little bit.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, thanks, Joe, for making
that. Trying to get away from this financial
stuff. Yeah.
I have a follow-up question for Dave on the budget.
Uh-huh.
I believe it might have already been addressed, but I just want to circle back to it. 54,280 building and grounds maintenance. What was the cause? What was the driver for the large increase in that this year? Was that discussed?
Yeah, that's the PFAS.
But I believe there's about
tank,
what,
the tank in there too?
Tank inspection.
Sorry, tank inspection.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking?
The Delta.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking at 54,280. So obviously we were quite a bit over budget.
Building ground maintenance. That's not fuel tank.
That's not the tank. Okay.
No. I discussed that I think it was a month or two ago. There's $28,000 of PFAS expense in there.
So PFAS.
Okay. So the note about. Right. Okay. So the delta was we paid extra money, for the survey that was done by that contractor and all that. And so, okay, we ate that money this year for this budget, and we're not budgeting anymore.
That's correct. That's the purpose of my note saying assumes no additional PFAS testing and engineering.
Yep.
The $25,000 that's in this year's the 24 budget. Is assuming no additional PFAS testing, and but for the $28,000, we would have had a $10,000 surplus in that line item.
Right.
And why
okay.
Is the
all right. Thanks for
right
clarifying.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any more discussion of the fiscal year 2024 proposed budget?
Put forward the motion to approve the 2024 budget presented.
Second that.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I hope not.
Okay. I'm out of answer. So this okay. Can you take the roll, please?
Sure. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries.
What's that somebody from Colorado?
Well, it's just Maxwell. So far,
Okay, so that brings us to the tower report. And as was mentioned a little while ago, we seem to have a little uptick.
We get a lot of bounce landing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, is Chris out practicing again?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I took over communication. So, Richard Aviation LLC, option to extend the land lease. So, it's like we'll take that up under new business. I assume this is you gentlemen. Thank you. We can finally announce this. The NHDOT Part 13 complaint and investigation is now officially closed. So we got that acknowledgement from our friends at Aeronautics. So, on to the power report. So, for the month of May, 8,004 operations, up 2,586 from last month, or 48%. Year over year is up 890 operations, or 13%. So, year to date, we're now down 3%. Thank you.
Help the year, Delta, that's for sure.
Pretty good chunk of operations.
Nice. Any idea with that? It's a huge.
It's some good weather. It's some really bad weather for a while, too.
Yeah, did it finally stop raining? I was there for 8 days and I just see the sun once.
Yeah. I think we can attribute to that. Weekend.
There in the week, raining in the weekend.
Well, June's numbers, I'm sure, will be down then.
Yeah, June's numbers, I'm sure, will be down then.
Is there some question about the letter?
No, it was about they were asking if they were under investigation as the under the Part 13.
Oh, no.
It was the whole airflow subject.
Under investigation.
Yeah, that's always a great term to hear today.
I spent about four of my last 6 years dealing with that.
Yeah.
They never found the chemistry.
No,
they never found
they
never found the meth lab. They never found the shipping business.
The whole thing was just a
Okay, airport manager's report.
Okay, recent events. We had the New Hampshire Aviation Museum Flying and Barbecue. Well, we'll say the barbecue this past Saturday. Unfortunately, the weather didn't cooperate. We started the day with like a 300-foot ceiling. So there were no aircraft that flew in for it, and moderate turnout in all reality, although the barbecue was pre-sold out. Unfortunately, our aviation events hinge on weather.
Yeah, but we'd have minimums of 200 feet, so I can't get in.
No, I'll have the antique airplanes.
Yes.
Another state-of-the-art navigation equipment.
I'm going to interrupt you. So, is there a cool thing going on right now? I saw when I was coming down Henry Burke Highway, there was a seaplane and another plane.
That was an extra.
Were following each other like this.
Yeah, that's a weird formation. I said, I guess.
An amphib and an extra.
Yes, they were doing photo work.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. That was wild.
The extra was a brand new antique.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So who was doing the photos? The amphib?
Yeah, I think Greg most likely would have been in the amphib doing the photos.
Yeah, I don't think the driver and the extra is, taking his hands off.
How does that work?
Although his amphib's here right now, too, the guy that has the extra.
Ah, okay. Was that Greg Meyer?
Yeah, the beautiful Skywagon here on floats right now, too.
Sorry for the interruption.
That's okay.
You should own one of
those. I should?
Yeah. They're only $550,000.
Ah.
But the extra or the
extra?
The extra.
Yeah.
The amphib's about the same.
Yeah.
That one's pristine. Okay. So, upcoming events. We have a EAA Young Eagles event sponsored by IAC 35. We have a couple of representatives in the group tonight. Scheduled for Saturday, July 1st.
Nice.
It'll be held at 81 Perimeter Road. The McLaughlins are allowing them to use their building for this. We haven't had a Young Eagles event in a few years now. It's going to be kind of a low-key Young Eagles event. They didn't really make it go public until just recently because they only have 5 pilots and they're planning 15 rides for the day. So the event's open to children or kids from the ages of 8 to 17 years old that are interested in flying. General registration is available. If it hasn't sold out already, not that there's a cost to it, but booked out, I should say, at https://youngeaglesday.org/?7178. I hope that question mark was correct, but
yeah.
Next event we have planned this year, which we've talked about a few times already, is the City of Nashville Summer Fund 2023 Wheels and Wings here at Nashville Airport. Hope for good weather for both of these events. Other items of interest, Continental Paving completed the Foxtrot Golf Ramps project ahead of schedule on May 31st. Way ahead of schedule, and Nick will be talking about that, Nick and Danny. June 1st, Nashville Airport Authority and Infinity Aviation Line Service staff completed our SPCC training, which was administered by Ty and Bond. And this was training that we had to get up to date, and this all had to do with the EPA inspection on the tanks and spill prevention, countermeasure controls. So it was a good meeting. It was a few hours, and we actually all learned a lot. June 21st, today, I met with City of Nashville Planning Director Matt Sullivan. We discussed recent developments regarding the piece of land on Deerwood Drive for someone seeking a building permit. This has been going on for some time now. Somebody had bought a piece of land, I believe back in the 90s out there. It's rather landlocked, but it does have frontage on Deerwood Drive, and they've been wanting to develop it. And they recently got through a zoning variance meeting hearing, and they were granted a variance because it was a non-conformal lot in terms of frontage. And now they're going before the Special Board of Aldermen next week seeking a building permit. So I had Matt Sullivan, the planning director, come out to the airport today and fill me in on what's been going on and what their feelings are on it. And we went out and walked the property And, you know, I had serious concerns about security and safety for the airport, as well as the general public, because there was some rumor that they wanted to open up Deerwood to public access. Turns out what the reality is, they're going to gain access from Massasoit Drive onto Deerwood just far enough to get to that property, and that property is, I didn't measure it, call it 50 yards down the road. And it's right outside of our gate 16 off the Indian ramp. So it's outside of airport property, but it does basically abut the property on Deerwood. It's really, according to Matt Sullivan from planning, he said it's very unlikely that this actually ever goes through because of the costs associated with them fixing the road from there to Massasoit. They would be making them put all the sewage and drainage infrastructure in. The costs are rather astronomical to build a single family home out in the middle of the woods.
So this is that parcel up where I think it's Brad Creek's house is there.
You drive down,
it looks like there's a road there, but it really isn't.
Right. That's Deerwood.
Right.
And that continues on through the whole back of the airport all the way to the railroad tracks to Amherst Street.
So wasn't this the same parcel we talked about a couple of years ago where there was actually a redo where we weren't notified as an abutter?
We are not notified as an abutter, and that was one of the subjects today. I asked that, and we were not notified as an abutter because we do not own the land. We lease this land. The land owner legally is who gets notified.
Yeah.
And, he prefaced this with, you're not going to like the answer, but it's the truth. And, you know.
And again, in our discussion back then, however, I think it was some of the homeowners on Massasoit hired an attorney and they stopped the process because of a notification. There was some notice, and if it was us or maybe it was that group of people that were not notified of this planning board, of the zoning board issue. And so they had to go back through the whole process again. And then I'm assuming this is that same piece of property.
It is.
Okay. One of the things we talked about.
That's who notified me, was one of the residents up there.
Right. So one of the things we talked about back then is that, fine, we won't put up a stink, but we want something in the deed that they're not going to complain about noise. They want to have something in there that overtly recognizes this is an airport, and that they will not say all of a sudden 2 years down the road, gee, it's getting pretty noisy, and start making a stink.
So I started crafting a letter, and I did this yesterday after I found out about this yesterday afternoon, really. And with my meeting with Matt today, we're going to put that letter in the file, and it'll express all of the airport's concerns, as you just mentioned, and then some.
That's good. That's good. But I want it in the deed. I want it recorded so that anybody buying that or doing some of that property can see it. That some overt statement that this is an airport.
Oh, yep. And we're zoned airport industrial, right? Yeah. 10 feet from that property.
Right.
And we talked about this today, and Matt said that's the avenue that it goes in the file. It'll also be brought up at the Special Board of Aldermen meeting next week.
Okay.
Not to mention the wood processing, the material processing that we do right here.
Yeah.
We hunt the property, as everybody knows. We have wildlife permits.
Yep.
And, you know, this is an active airport, and our primary concern is safety. And
so airplanes.
Safety, period, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. So next up, airport engineers. All right. Good evening, everyone. For the recording, this is Mr. Polito from the Airport Chief. We are currently administering 5 projects on behalf of the authority. The first being the rehabilitation of rehabilitation of Taxiway Alba. This project. I haven't done an update this month.
The most recent update I received from NHDOT on the issue of the grant, which was back on May 11th, indicated the funding request currently sits with the FAA, and grant timing will depend on when FAA releases those funds. So no update on taxiway alpha at this time. Any questions on that project?
So that's FAA, not NHDOT, that's...
That is correct.
And the contractor understands that, and it's not...
Yeah, we had that discussion with them. They were hoping they could move right from the Aiken project in the alpha, but it didn't pan out that way.
How long is our bid good for?
That is a good question. I believe technically it would have expired, or it would expire in October. We had it for 180 days, but Continental's already indicated they're willing to wait over the winter if they have to. They don't want to, but.
So
even after FAA releases the money, it's still got to go through GNC,
right.
Through Aeronautics.
Aeronautics has to issue a grant.
Either way, the best we can hope for.
Then it goes to Governor and Council, and then later on to 2 months.
Yeah, either way, the best we can hope for is next spring.
I think that's a realistic expectation at this point.
Remind us again why there's no state or local share in this budget, or should there be?
As far as the construction, yes, there is a local share. It is 95.5. We learned about that might have been a month or two ago now. But yeah, the design only was 100%, but because that was the 2020 grant issued, now we fall under whatever the program is for 2023, which is 90%, 5.5.
Okay, so
that's
not
that.
Okay, so
that's not.
Yeah. Okay, good. So the city is aware of this.
Yep, I had a discussion with John Griffin.
That's part of the 172 in their capital budget. I noticed that the city released their capital budget last week, and in there is for the airport is $172,000. I'm assuming this is part of this.
Well, I had the discussion with John. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but yeah.
The next project is the golf and box shot ramp project, as Chris alluded to. Construction is now complete. The final inspection was held on Wednesday, May 31st. Leaving that meeting, the only remaining work is removal of the seven gate controls once grass roads have been established. And if you look at the grass that we have, I found a picture. Was that 2 weeks ago now?
It's coming in next, but it's not. Danny came and looked at it the other day.
So 50% in Bradford Brook Shores.
You run into a situation where they've mowed too soon and the grass has died, so you really want to let that get, you know, a good 6 inches, 6 to 12 inches to 3 months. So while the construction is complete, the project cannot be completely closed out at this time because the BIL portion of the funding for Foxtrot ramps has not been issued yet. Luckily, the contractor has agreed to delay payment until those funds are issued. So once that funding is issued, we'll request all reimbursements and close out the grant.
And that should take how long?
I reached out to FAA yesterday looking for an update. I have not heard back yet. We have seen some grant awards coming out of DC, but it's been sporadic. And I don't know that there has been one in the West Indies announced. I watched a webinar with David Cushing, who's the financial director for the FAA, and he was sort of insinuating that they're trying their hardest to get everything out. They want, you know, the sponsors to find things quickly and get it back, but we're sort of waiting on that issue.
So, but we've done everything we're supposed to do.
That is correct.
They're not waiting for anything from us.
Nothing from an airport, the airport or from this. Any other questions on the golf run project? The next project is the relocation of the AWAS. We have received FAA reimbursable agreement. That agreement will be funded before they will begin work on the airport project. We also have submitted a scope and fee to the National Airport Authority. We solicited documentation to solicit an IFE. We also gave contact information for an IFE provider. So once you receive that IFE, we can go through our RFP scores and do that comparison. Have there been any movement on the IFE?
No.
Would you like me to read some of those documents?
Yeah, if you could, Nick.
So again, this is something that we pay and get reimbursed for.
Correct.
Correct.
It's in the, what was this, what's the scope roughly, dollars?
Anywhere between $3,500 and $5,000, usually about $4,000.
To move the whole thing?
No, this is for the IFE.
No, 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 I'm talking about, so we're paying for everything, right?
You're paying for the FAA portion of the work.
Right, so how much is that expected to be?
I believe that was somewhere around
$75,000. To move the whole thing?
That is no, the airport. So they have a contract to come out and install the equipment. So Gale will be responsible for all of the site work and all of the foundations. Once those foundations and poles are up, they just come out and hook everything up to it and connect it out.
Okay, so our responsibility is the, ours, yours, is the site work.
Correct.
Okay. The actual movement of it, we don't pay for that, and that the FAA comes and does it.
We will
pay the FAA, and then it's a strange
system,
but that division of the FAA can't reimburse under a grant, so the money has to flow through the Airport Authority, and then get reimbursed for it through the grant.
Okay, so there's two costs of this. There's the FAA piece to move it, and there's your piece or our piece to the site work.
We'll do the design, but then we'll have to bid the work to a contractor.
Right. So all in, site work, contractor, installation, movement, everything. How much are we writing a check for?
The EIT estimate was $350 total project.
Okay.
The portion that you have to fund up front, which is the FAA portion, I don't think you 56 in reimburse, 56.
But when you say the FAA's portion, what other portion is there?
Well, the FAA has to get paid for their design work. Gale will get paid for hours, and then the contractor needs to get paid for actually doing work.
Okay, but at some point in time, we're going to be out $350,000 of our cash.
So, Dave, if I may?
Yeah.
Please. I've already gone to the city with this. This was in my proposed budget request, funding request with the city. And so they're well aware of it, and I explained the whole process, and they were on board with it. So once this happens, they will save the money up front.
All right. So their checking account is going to be hit.
Correct.
Okay.
It will be reimbursed 95.
Yeah. Either way, I understand it for you, but I'm just wondering, do we need cash? The good news is we have the cash, but I just wanted to make sure that.
Dave, if I may, so with the project we have going on Pine Hill, trying to get the lot, which Nick will talk about in a minute, I didn't want to try to float both of these.
No, that's fine.
So we're floating the one on Pine Hill, and the city's going to help us with this one.
Okay.
Knowing that they'll be reimbursed the 95%.
Sure. Okay.
So when it says we have received the FAA reimbursement program, I'm assuming that's you guys.
It was sent to both me and Chris.
Can we get a copy of that?
It sounds like the city is going to be kind of a guarantor of this thing that they're kind of doing. They're kind of our sugar daddy to write the check to be reimbursed. That's what it sounds like.
And I explained to them that, we're doing this other project and we can't float both of them.
Sure.
This needs to be done to further the development out there.
Yep. And both of them.
I had no pushback on it. So.
Right. And both of them are reimbursable.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And it takes time. We won't be reimbursed right away. It will move
at
a snail's pace.
A government pace.
DOT.
I didn't want to say it.
It's all government, so.
So So recommended actions this month are to please coordinate the payment of the FAA's reimbursable agreement, which sounds like it's been done. Thank you very much, Susan. And please coordinate the IFE on Yale's closing service, which I will forward to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Nick.
Any questions on the AWOL? The next project here is the land acquisition. I'm just going to skip right ahead to the new items because those are the only items that were updated this month. On May 15th, the owner responded to get those two with a request to negotiate an additional 14,000. Should I be talking about this outside of the next discussion? Because there's dollar amounts, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
Okay. With a request to negotiate an additional $14,000 in parcel, citing additional value was felt not covered during the appraisal process. On May 17th, the airport authority voted and authorized an administrative settlement pending FAA and DOT concurrence. On June 5th, the FAA sent an email in favor of the administrative settlement, and on June 8th, NHDOT sent an email also in favor of the settlement pending NHDOT's chief appraiser's concurrence. Once that concurrence is received from the chief appraiser, or Matt will assist you with moving forward with a formal offer to Mr. Chermel, and begin the process of recording the transaction. So recommended actions regarding that project, none from tomorrow. Any questions that I can hopefully answer?
When will we actually close on the property?
We're waiting on the state appraisers at this point, so we can't move forward until we get that concurrence from the state.
Okay. Is that a big deal? I mean, it sounds like everybody else in the country has signed off on the thing.
Yeah. I mean, we've had three appraisals, Dave.
Right.
And this is their formality. And we've called a couple times to light a fire under this. Carol from DOT has let them know that, you know, this emergency here, this guy's been waiting basically since January.
Isn't the appraiser a DOT?
Is he DOT?
Yeah. The DOT is chief appraiser.
So that's kind of what they've got to get that done.
I'm here.
I have a quick question on the land purchase.
Okay.
Yes.
It's just a small detail, but is the agreement exclusive of the taxes that are coming due? I think July 1st is when the taxes are due for Nashua. So just curious if the seller will pay those and we pay them back, or will he just pay them?
I think they'll be prorated, Jeff.
The fiscal year runs April to April.
So the tax bill is due July 1st.
That's the payment.
Is that in arrears, though?
The payment is 2 months in arrears, 4 months in advance. But we're not going to be owning that thing for, we're going to be responsible, he's responsible for the taxes through July 1st, whenever we close on it. So the payment of them should happen, he owns the land, so he's already got the tax bill, so that's his problem. Sure. Yeah, payment of it's his problem, but the proration of it,
it's in the closing statement.
That's part of the settlement sheet. Yeah.
Upon the sale of that, when they sort of kick him back or something at the end and recalculate our tax bill for the next term?
This is a dumb question. Will we have a tax bill?
We won't.
Yeah. We don't. So
then, never mind.
Yeah.
Good answer.
That wasn't so dumb.
So does that mean that you'll take the taxes in full for that 6 month period, yes, and then get a refund as a result of the fact that we're not going to be taxed on it for whatever the number of days or months remaining in that 6 month period?
Yeah, there will be, depending on when it closes, Jess, the taxes are due July 5th. So, assuming they're paid by then, assuming we're not going to close by then, which we doesn't sound like we are, you know, either whether it's paid or not, it gets settled up by closing.
Right.
Okay, yeah. It's probably an irrelevant question. It was mostly a curiosity, so right. Thanks for humoring me.
Okay,
what about PFAS?
No.
Is there PFAS on this property?
Yeah, this is where all the PFAS is coming from.
The PFAS factory.
And we find out we just bought ourselves a super fun.
Yeah, the pine needles.
Those are very straight pine trees. Mm.
Any other questions on the property acquisition? All right. And the last project is the tower siting study. We received comments on our draft scope of services from the DOT and FAA. We have revised our scope based on these comments, and we have received confirmation from both FAA and the DOT that the cover fee is less than $100,000, no IFP will be required. Overall, the siting study takes approximately 18 months to complete, while the actual study only takes 6 months from commencement to completion. The backlog of work by this group at the FAA will delay the start of that project about 12 months. So, recommended actions, please review Gale's scope and fee and vote on whether or not to enter that contract.
So help me understand, you say the fee is less than $100,000, but the project funding is $250,000.
Yep.
And also, again, is it 95.5 or is this 100% FAA?
I believe this is 100% FAA.
This is bill money.
BIL fund.
So the 100 is a portion of the 250.
Yes.
Is, or so whatever it's under, but the scope of work that you're talking about that's less than 100
right.
is part of that.
Yep.
No.
So the total grant amount being issued is up to $250,000. We haven't actually applied for the grant yet. This is just for the notification of award of the project. So once we have the FAA, again, another reimbursable agreement with the FAA, once they provide that reimbursable agreement, their costs are known, their costs are known, we'll then apply to. That is due by July 15th, so we have a little bit of time, and I've been communicating pretty closely with the FAA to make sure that they're still on track to get us their fee well ahead. So we will prepare a grant application and forward it to the board for review and signature, and we'll get that in by that date, and then it's sort of a waiting game until the project is.
So sorry, again, so what is it you're asking us to vote on?
Whether or not to enter a contract with Gale for the services.
Do we have a contract that we know the cost and the, what is, I'm not sure what we're voting on, so that's.
So is that an item for tonight or an item potentially to do on this next?
Well, I have provided, I think, an email.
When was that, Nick?
I believe it was, let me check my email.
Is this something that you need to get to sign up on before July 15th?
Our next meeting is what?
20th. Yeah, it's not going to be before the 15th.
Yeah, just set up the staff, right?
Is it an approval of the actual contract or simply the ability for you to develop a contract for us?
The contract has been developed.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing where I sent it, but my phone only carries so many emails.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either, Nick, so.
All right. Let me get that over to you.
Kind of just to step that back then real quick, Joel, you said July 15th. Is that a Saturday? But we don't have another meeting until July 20-something.
What's the July 15th date there?
That is the grant application deadline. I believe the fee was the 98.2, something like that. And that would be to basically any path that is the responsibility of the sponsor as part of that project, we would be assisting you with it. So we would attend all the meetings, we would provide all the information they request. You would basically be, the responsibility would be to decide on the ultimate location and features, and we would provide all the technical assistance to support that.
So I don't doubt that we're going to move forward with this. I guess, you know, I'll repeat the question. Do you have to, have the, the scope fee reviewed and signed by us before the 15th?
No. Okay. We can prepare the grant application without having a signed contract.
Okay.
So if we don't do anything until the 19th, which is our next scheduled meeting, we're fine.
That should be fine, as long as, I guess, the board may want to authorize Farrell to sign the grant application.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion for Farrell to sign the grant application.
Second. Okay. Discussion?
Do you want to specify a project?
Project
one. Carte blanche.
He's authorized to sign.
Okay, give him full power to the town.
Or just voted to give me a blank check.
For all items in perpetuity requiring signature.
Power sighting study.
Make it so.
Yeah, whatever the number is.
Yeah.
I'd say up to 250,000. I believe it's going to be somewhere around 180, 175.
Yep.
Fair enough, handle it. Can you get to vote?
Yeah, we can do the roll call. Chris, if you please.
Is the motion clear, Sue?
I think so.
Chairman West is
signing. Contract for the.
No,
the
grant.
No, grant application.
Sorry, the grant application for the tower sitting study in the amount of up to $250,000.
Yes. Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
And Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a very big switch to go from Sote Faro to Sote Faro.
Okay. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Danny.
Danny, great job on that project we just did, by the way. Thank you very much. Crack the whip out there.
So let's see. We have no committees at the moment. Old business. Greg isn't. I don't see Greg tonight, so we'll table his hangar development for next month. New business. Pritchard Air LLC option to extend land lease. And gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you for your patience.
I'm sure it was entertaining.
It's the moment you've been waiting for.
Really?
Yeah. The next one?
Maybe. I'd like to make a couple of announcements that might be helpful here.
Stuart Steele.
Well, the first thing is I like to say what a great job you guys do on this airport. Having come from Manchester where 20 years ago, I couldn't be happier. The second thing is I've sold my office in Bedford, and I have two organizations. One is the East Point Property Management Company, and the second is the Steel Foundation, which I set up to give my money away after my death. And we're going to be moving. You've probably seen some trucks over there. We're going to be moving those two organizations into that building, and it's no longer going to be an executive center. As you may have noticed over the years, it never made a profit. It was empty most of the time.
It'll remain all office.
Yeah.
There's no other use.
Yeah, it's just office, but it will be companies that I own.
Yeah.
You're going to kick Jim Conway to the street?
What we have, unfortunately. No, he was our first tenant, and he's going to be the last one.
Yep.
You know, he's a great guy.
Yep.
The other thing I wanted to say is, you know, we've done a lot of work on the hangar, from putting a new roof on to redoing the floors inside a couple of years ago.
Charging station?
Pardon?
Charging station.
Oh, the charging station. Three of my pilots have Teslas, and I think five other people in the organization have Teslas. But I put that in as a public thing because I just thought it was, if I was going to put it in for our people, I'd put it in so that anybody can use it. It's not getting a lot of use right now, but I suspect, as I don't know if anybody follows Tesla, but General Motors and Ford have just adopted there, and I think yesterday or today, Rivian adopted that. So in the future, that will be a nice asset to have near the airport. Unless you have some other questions of me, I think that kind of summarizes where I'm at.
Okay. Do we have the
Before the motion to approve the lease extension request for E1544 Berkshire Aviation LLC for the additional 20 years beginning on September 1, 2023 and terminating on August 31, 2043 upon the same terms and conditions as the lease now in effect.
So this is the first 20?
This is their last
20.
That's what I'm wondering. I was going to ask them, did you, if they wanted to add on an additional 20 years?
Well, typically, the reason I'm asking is that typically the second 20 is not, is subject to the same terms, but except for this, all the other leases,
what we normally do is, all of them that we've been doing is we've been approving them, same with our current terms and conditions apply as of today. And if it's your last extension, companies have been coming forward and asking for an additional 20 years to, in this case, the option to extend until 2063.
Yeah.
And that is subject to
Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it.
Is that something that you wish to do, put on, so that you already have an additional 20 years to extend it up to 2063?
Absolutely, I want that.
Okay.
In hopes the foundation, the property management company will still be there, working away. I'm not there. I have one other question that has nothing to do with this lease. Where my office is now in Bedford, I have a warehouse that's 10,000 square feet, which we don't need. We need about 5,000 square feet. I wondered if the airport had any land that they would like to lease that wouldn't be appropriate for a hangar, but might be appropriate to bring more income into the organization. I have a piece of land in Litchfield that I can build a small warehouse on. If my office is here, I'd rather have something down this road if you had anything available.
We'd have to look at the property on the other side of the road. It would have to be land side versus air side.
No access to the land.
There's
not a navigation
available.
If you have anything, let me know.
Very well.
Because it would be helpful to me, and hopefully helpful to you.
Excuse me.
I keep looking at the house you tore down there, and apparently the proctinitis take the other one down?
Not the house, no. There's a tree lot, a large stand of pine trees adjacent to the brick hanger parking lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
by that and level the trees.
Okay. Is that house the brown house that's left standing on the corner?
The one with the potato chip paint job?
Yeah, the opaque window. He's going to stay there till the end, he says.
Oh, okay.
As soon as it's available, we'll most likely acquire that.
Well, if you find something, someplace,
yeah, I'll get in touch with you or
yes,
somebody in your organization.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Susan, I would second that one with that additional language.
Right, with a second 20-year period. Commencing on September 1, 2043, terminating on August 31, 2063, subject to renegotiation of the terms and conditions.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. This will be your roll call vote.
Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Secretary Holland.
Yes.
There is a delay, Dave. You're right.
Yeah. Over.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
All those little
Thank you. I'll get in touch with you.
Okay.
And as much as you like being here, we're glad you're here as well. So.
Yeah.
Here.
All right. As soon as I have the addendum done up.
Pardon?
As soon as I have your addendum done up, I will mail you a copy of it for your record.
Okay. Great. Thank you again.
Have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay, next up under new business, tie down rate increase. So the last one was 2020, correct?
That's what the note said from the closing.
Yes.
Is there a reason that this is coming up? Are we undercharging or overcharging?
So I looked at other airports, Dave, and it's kind of all over the map.
Yeah.
But, you know, competing, who do we compete with? Pittsburgh. They're even higher than what we're proposing. And they don't have any electric tie-downs, nearly what we offer. And Lawrence, et cetera. So we thought that, what was it, a 9% increase? Basically 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's better to go in increments rather than all of a sudden coming in with a 30%
right, and that's what we're doing, trying to make it palatable. It's still very affordable. Well, I haven't done in a long time.
Right? Yeah.
So I did a quick little survey. Non-electric Nashua currently $55, electric $83. Nobody else offers electric, by the way. Lawrence has them, but the three or four spots that they have are owned by the FBO, and they're not available almost in perpetuity. Concord's at 45 for non-electric. I had a chat with him, and they're going to be raising theirs as well. Pittsburgh's at $92.64 for non-electric. Stowe, Massachusetts, $135 for non-electric. Lawrence is at 75 for non-electric for a single, and 100 for a twin. We're the same price. So we felt that going to the $60, which is just over 9%, is palatable, and 90 on the electric. So from 55 to 60, 83 to 90.
And I'll take when?
July 1st.
Okay. I don't have any problem with that. It's not in the budget, right? Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. I also don't have a problem making it August 1 to give them a 30-day notice.
Well, we do the billing, Brian. She sends out, gives people the opportunity to pay a year in advance on July 1st every year.
Oh, okay.
And we also offer discounts.
That's why we have to do it on
the first.
Gotcha. I have a question on that. Do the FBOs pay for some of that as well, or is this just the rate for the private tenants?
So the FBO, Infinity, has, I believe it was 25 tie-downs that they rent from us.
Mm.
And Air Direct, I don't know how many they're at right now. For not
Air
many.
Direct, you just have one.
Equus.
Equus. Well, they have three. There's three, yeah. That's what I meant, Equus.
You know, I don't think that the price increase sounds unreasonable, especially given everything else that has been going up. But I'm just wondering what the justification is. Is it just that they, I guess, price competitive with other airports? Do we have a need in the budget to increase that? Is there a reason why we wouldn't consider just waiting another year or two, right? Maybe make it an every 5-year process, right, where we evaluate? Just for the perspective of keeping things consistent for customers, because we want them to have their airplanes here.
Yeah, and we do, and we still offer a great product at a great price, Jess. And I think to answer your question initially, it's to, you know, be competitive and not sell the store short.
But it's not, you know, it's, from my perspective, it's not raising them just because we can. It's because, you know, we're still cheaper than Lawrence and blah, blah, blah. Our costs have gone up, and electricity has gone up. You know, we got this PFAS thing going on that you know, sucked up $28,000 of our money. Labor, on and on. So there have been costs that have increased since 2020. And my guess is if we went back and added them all up, they're in excess of 9%.
And our streams of revenue, as you know, are the tie-downs and the leases. So the leases get adjusted biannually by the CPIW calculation.
Yeah, the tie-down stone.
And the tie-down stone. So we just, you know, we thought this would be palatable, and it's not a huge increase.
And again, the 5-year thing, just getting back to your question about why not, is that's kind of what we did the last time, and the increase was significant. And as Brian brought up earlier, it's better to chip away at, you know, smaller increases rather than one big one.
And if you look at the electric tie-down rates, they're a bargain, because if anybody's out there in the electric ramp and they run in a space heater, a Tanis heater, et cetera, in the middle of winter, that exceeds what we're charging them for a monthly rate.
Right.
Not everybody does it, so we, you know, kind of play the averages here, and we also realize that in the summertime that they're not running those heaters. But it's really a bargain price.
Oh, Wes, go ahead.
Well, Chris was the target of some heartburn about the electric rates in the hangar that he had an interest in. So I was just wondering whether, since the electric rate is essentially doubled, whether the electric tie-down rate, whether that, if we track that, and whether it makes sense, the number that you're talking about makes sense based on the electric.
It still works.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't separately need those, do we?
Not each one, no.
But
we know what
the group.
Yes, we do know what they.
Sorry.
Heck did I get?
Yeah, it went from like 12 cents a kilowatt hour to like 22.
No, I'm talking about the actual numbers. We have
the ramp.
So basically, we have a separate meter for the ramp.
Yeah.
I know that not just
so we know what it is.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of maintenance associated with those electric tie-downs that are all buried in water. Who engineered that one, Mac?
So I make a motion to approve the tie-down fees as proposed.
Second.
Okay, any further discussion of Roger?
Of course I have. It says this rate increase been floated among the people that have tie-downs on the field, because this is really short notice and nobody's got any input to it other than what you folks have presented. And we want to keep the rates where they are if possible. They have to increase if we have the increased expenses. But if we currently have the revenue from the tie-downs to cover everything we need to, I can see no reason at this time to raise this rate.
Well, I think if I can answer, Roger, like Dave explained, our expenses have gone through the roof, like everybody says, for everything. Whether it's a gallon of milk, the electricity we pay for in the airfield, everything here, payroll, insurance. So there is a need. We don't want to all of a sudden end up in a hole and not be able to run the airport.
Right.
going back to what I initially said, is there a reason, if there's the funds there now to cover it, there is no reason to raise the rates?
Well, see, the problem with, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with you that there's no reason to raise the rates. We're not a for-profit entity, but we need to make sure that we stay in business, so to speak. We make sure that it, and you know, our, we can't say that the tie down rates, just, you know, the people, all those planes on the ramp, you know, that these costs that are associated with those planes on the ramp, we can't separate all the segregated expenses to apply to that. It's more just run the airport, everything. And so all the landowners, all the property owners on the they get an automatic kicker every 2 years that kicks in based on the CPI, and so they're already sharing a lot of those costs, you know, and that they go up. And so this is simply an attempt to then have a piece of those costs be spread a little bit further, not just to the property owners, but also to the tie down owners.
Well, I think Ryan's point is the reason, right? So that we don't come up in 7 years and say, well, yeah, we've been doing everything we can. They're going up 63% because we have to. It's just like Eversource does to all of us and says, oh, guess what? We're doubling your rate.
And this is 3 years
already. Yeah. Right. So I think
so this is 9%, which is 3% a year average. So, you know, so yes, I can say that our costs to run this airport have gone up in excess of 3% a year. And all this is attempting to do is have the tie-down tenants share in that increase, just like every other tenant on the airport.
That goes back to my other point.
Yeah.
Has this been floated among
no,
people?
No, it has not.
It has not. I would not vote on this until this was floated around the field and people know what's going on.
Right. I appreciate that, Roger. And I know where you're coming from, but our governance doesn't work. Tenants don't have a vote on all this. You know, it's not like the taxpayers of the city, where, you know, before they pass a budget or any kind of tax increase, they have to have public meetings and all that stuff. We don't have to do that. Now that's not a good reason. So we want to be sensitive to our tenants. And that's what I think what Brian was attempting to do was to say, why don't we just at least give some time, you know, maybe not July 1st, but maybe August or whatever. But then, you know, Susan's point, well, we give it, if they pay the whole thing for the year, they get a discount. So I understand what you're saying. And I suppose in deference to that, not that it really, we want to hear what they have to say, but at the same time, this is something that we should probably do anyway. But
nobody wants an increase. We're all tenants. I'm a tenant.
Yeah.
Dave's a tenant. Farrell's a tenant. Jess is a tenant. Wes is a tenant. You're a tenant. None of us want an increase, but like you said, we have the expenses. We've had the increased expenses.
It's also part of, you know, just like when you know it snows. You know, we can't say it costs $4,100 to plow the per storm to plow the it's just not that finite. But every once in a while we have to raise the plumbing rates.
Wes, I'm really not affected by this, but I will express sympathy for Brian's suggestion that do it August 1st so that people have to have budget, and just like, you know, the airport has a budget. So, and I honestly believe that you know, our valued person here, Susan, who does the numbers, can do, you know, figure out what the bill would be if someone had to pay a year in advance, with July being the old rate and the rest of the year getting the new rate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a math problem.
Is that
Would that make you crazy?
Can you see the steam?
It's a good way to ask it.
Yeah, how much would that get in the way?
So, I mean, it wouldn't be right to just, if I do it for August 1st, how do I...
Well, what
I already sent out a thing saying that they receive 1 month free if they pay up front.
I think what Les is getting at is to say, okay, you know, pick a number. Let's say it's $70 now and it's going to be $85 later. So you basically, it's 11 months at 85 and 1 month at 70.
Exactly.
Prorated, pay the, you know, average it out, and that's the
one. Oh, I would give them the higher amount, the month off from the higher amount, of course.
Yeah.
But pay everything advance, save $85.
Right. How do I, right, but how do I...
Can I say
how
something?
How do I explain that to them? How do I explain to the tenants that I sent them a bill for $55, and then if they pay for, if by the way, the reason I went out next month is 60, if you pay in full, again,
right, then they get $60 off.
The total number for the year, the total increase, and I have to say this, is $60.
Mm-hmm.
$60. We're in aviation. We burn that in a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but this is a very modest increase. And again, nobody likes to have prices increased.
Right.
And if you hold the tenants, nobody's going to say we want our prices increased. We know that. But this is, we have to do this. And I think it's going to create a lot more burden on Susan to do it in August.
Yeah.
The system's been set up like this for...
Everybody's expecting it.
Yep.
Every tenant that pays annually is expecting our one bill to come in.
Right.
I do have the letters all ready to go.
Yeah.
For all tenants, to be mailed tomorrow.
No, and I think, but I do want to recognize that this is kind of coming at the tenants a little fast.
I agree.
But at the same time, you know, as you pointed out, Chris, it's $60 a year. I mean, I know pilots' insurance is going from, you know, $3,000 to $8,000. And, you know, so it's, yeah.
You don't want to be insensitive to the idea, but
right.
It's also...
And then the logistics of everything is... I don't think people are going to make a different decision. They're not going to choose to go to Pittsburgh because the rate went up $60 for the year.
It's $100 hamburger, right?
Yeah.
It's
a
$250 hamburger. Yeah, $250 or whatever it is.
Right.
I was flying at 25 wet back then.
I understand what you're saying, Roger, that it would have been nice for them to hear about it last month.
But we just did the budget. This is when we do it typically.
Right.
How it's been done in the past.
But we look at our expenses, we figure out what's going on, what our CPNW is going to be next January, and we factor all that in. Okay, well, let's factor in this.
And we're not trying to be a for-profit business.
We're not
covering the expenses.
Yeah.
It's like if you're in a flying club and all of a sudden something happens, that month you get a special assessment because it happened. And, we're not for profit.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have 466 paying customers?
I don't know.
That's what it would take to cover the PFAS, $28,000.
No, we've got 466.
Okay. No. Just ask.
So that alone.
Put it out there. You need $466.
And that's one expense that we have.
Right. So anyway, so we probably...
I'm expecting the phone to be running off the hook.
Yeah.
So to Robert's point, though.
So you're saying a week off.
maybe not this cycle. If we know that we're going to increase the tie-down rates every 2 years or every 3 years, we could put a heads up out there.
Yeah,
like
I think that would be a good PR or just simply communication that would be advisable. You know, we may have to make some phone calls this year. Roger brought up a good point about
we did give them enough time. This year, I think it's several weeks a month, but in the past, we have done it in earlier months. But yes, I'm going to use them in some phone calls.
When I got my $700 power bill in March, that resort did not warn me.
They didn't accept your call.
I would like to raise the bar from a customer service perspective a little higher than ever, sort of.
Well, we, in our last Hangar 109 condo meeting, I increased the budget because of the increase in Everstore. And normally we only have a couple of people who attend the meeting. We actually have a full room. So,
I do mine by Zoom. That really fills up the screen.
All right. Do we have a second of the week?
No, I have a second.
Yeah.
Okay. So, would you call the roll, Chris, please?
Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes, I would like to just make the note that I would like to say that as much as I agree with the need for this, I do think that this is something we should do better in the future. I think our tenants should have a little bit more notice, so I'd like to just go on record saying that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yes. Yep.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries. So, let's see. That upcoming events, Chris has already spoken about the Young Eagles Day and the Wheels and Wings. That brings us to public input. Do we have any public input tonight as we close out? Okay, I'll take that as a note. So, director's comments. I'll start with Joe.
Nothing this month, thank you.
Thanks for making the budget process not so hard on me this year. And thanks, Susan and Chris. This is had a nice little gathering for a good chunk of the day to go through everything. It worked out really well.
Jess?
I do want to say thank you to both Susan and Treasurer Heath for a great job on the budget. Really appreciate that. That's a huge effort. Thank you. And then also just a comment for everybody, wishing you all a very happy summer. Today's the solstice, so happy summer to everyone.
Okay, great. Thank you. So I'll second the comment about the work on the budget.
That's okay, fine. I'll turn them. Thank you.
that's a substantial
for the record.
I appreciate the work that you and Susan, and I assume you had a hand in this too, Chris.
A little bit. Susan and Dave do most of it.
He was kind of up in and out of consciousness.
So thank you for this work. And also a shout out to Gail for the Fox and Golf Ramp rehab.
Yeah.
Looks real nice.
Oh, man.
How about a government contract coming in under, you know, early in the budget, earlier than expected?
A reward for in that part.
They get to go to the next job.
Now they're working on the flyover, exit 2 over to 3A and Hudson. They're busy working on some, getting a lot of the structures fixed so that it's like. They're not like a foot below grade.
The rim benders.
Yeah. Brian.
No comments for the record. I will just say off the record that I will not be at this meeting in 2 years because my daughter's getting married on this date in 2 years. I'll be heavily inebriated and not in attendance.
When you're in the tennis here.
What's that?
We're
going to be up at the Mount Washington.
Oh, nice.
Heavily inebriated because you haven't quite warmed up to this guy marrying your
daughter? he's great, and I'm glad they're moving back from Austin, Texas. No, I haven't warmed up to the bill.
Thank you, Roger.
Good night.
Guys. Okay. Next month, I have an executive session, be able to go home while the sun's still up.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. Roll call again, please.
Hey, Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Secretary Holland?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yep.
Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned.
I'm going to fix that clock, but every time we